always love seeing Neil Milner around the station here, and he's in today on The Conversation. Retired professor of political science there at UH Manoa. He's back for the long view, this time on how we disagree. Americans have an illustrious history of disagreeing, right, Neil? And maybe we've worried about it since the beginning, how to handle it.
Well, you made it sound like I kind of drop in here for a free cup of coffee, but I appreciate the compliment. Well, yes, this is an interesting question that can be defined this way. Have we moved into something that the authors of this study call lethal partisanship? And the answer is maybe. But let me just do a quick history lesson so we understand. The founding fathers were always worried about partisanship and how that would disrupt the country. And to make a long story short, even without political parties, the United States has a history of some serious partisanship that turned to violence. And the Civil War, where the equivalent of today's population of 7 million people were killed, is an example. What happens in about the mid-20th century is that we no longer have that kind of lethality showing up. And so what you have is people begin to think about partisanship in kinder and gentler terms, social identity. That's the way when I was studying graduate school. That is, you clearly were attached to one party or another, and that clearly was important for long periods of time, whether you called yourself a Democrat or Republican. But it was benign, right? I mean, you didn't outgroup the other party. What's begun to happen in the last 20 years, at least for sure, is that there is something that's not so benign anymore. And we outgroup the opposition. We don't want our kids to marry someone from another party. We tend to see the opponents not just as different, but as morally bereft. And so these folks who did the study say, we want to look more closely to see if there is a movement back to a more lethal partisanship. That is polarization moving us in that direction? And that's the context for the study. Mm-hmm. So what they find is, yeah, kind of. And the way they do it is that they have a series. This is a national survey, a couple of national surveys, and they look at three different categories of things that they ask people about. Moral disengagement, which is, how much do you see the other side as immoral, as inhuman in many ways? Do you depersonalize them? Do you see them as evil? About 40% of the sample did, and Republicans and Democrats are about the same. The next stage is Schadenfreude, which is a fancy pants term for feeling pleasure in the pain of others you oppose. It drops there. You've got about 15% of the people who feel that way. And then finally, out and out justification of violence when you say it's sometimes necessary.
Lethal partisanship.
It's a gradation toward lethal. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's the real lethal part. You can think about it being lethal when you begin to in-group and out-group and depersonalize, but you're right. That's the real lethal part. So figure about 15% of the people take that position about violence, equal number of the Democrats and Republicans.
Well, that's a pretty big percentage.
Well, that's the interesting question. Is it as much as or as few as? They say it's as much as. They say, look, if you multiply 15, if you take 15% of the population, that's a lot of people. Even they don't say that guarantees violence from these people. But they do say we're pretty sure on the basis of other questions that a good a majority of that 15% says, we're not just talking, we really mean it. So that's the movement toward a lethal partisanship.
Question for you.
Yeah.
The way you laid it out, okay, is it sort of post-World War II that we had some shared ideas about what civility was like?
Yes. Post-World War II, you had a lot of, a lot of interesting things and important things going on. You had consensus over the war. You had an increased kind of prosperity. And remember, the closest, the movement toward equality reached its climax in the early 70s, where there really was, you know, if you look at surveys now, income surveys now, there's inequality is not getting better and even gets worse. And so you had this. You also had norms of bipartisanship. You had the sorting of Democrats and Republicans weren't nearly as clear as it is now. If you do surveys now, virtually everyone who says they're conservative says they're Republicans. Virtually everyone who says they're liberals said they're Democrats. Didn't used to be that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure. Well, one reason is that you had all of the racist politicians in the South who were Democratic and were conservative on other issues. But generally, overall in the population, there was much more overlap, and there wasn't this outgrouping. You didn't think about your Republican neighbor down the street if you were a Democrat as someone you wouldn't want your son or daughter to spend time with. Those are fairly new developments. And that's really, some of that stuff didn't really start showing up until, I don't know, as I say, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. You can't tell from this. But that's clearly a difference where political party now is not only the most important signifier of how you live and how you think about all kinds of other things, even more so than race in lots of ways now. But it's also now moved into this direction of moral, this kind of depersonalization. That's been showing up for a long time. Mm-hmm. We're essentially, and if you think about how your friends or my friends talk about the opponents, this comes up all the time. These people can't be trusted. They have to be out. And it used to be that the opponent, if you did surveys after a presidential election, a little while later, the losing party people would have a fairly high level of trust of the one who won. Not anymore. And the Trump case is a very good example of that. Democrats have nothing good to say about him, and for the most part, Republicans have a lot of good. It's about as polar opposite as you could get. So that doesn't guarantee violence by any means, but you see these things all coming together to make the whole partisanship lean more in the direction of potential for violence.
You're describing different kinds of Americans, sort of. I mean, because if we think back to post-World War II, Americans were thought of by the rest of the world as generally idealistic. We've been so generous, and we've been proud of being generous.
Well, that's right, except you always have to remember that this was always done pretty much either at the expense of African Americans or ignoring them entirely. That is, if you look at our social welfare system from the Depression on, a lot of the stuff came to be with bargains made with conservative senators that essentially made it very difficult for African Americans to benefit from this. So you're right. We certainly had a reputation for being cohesiveness, for sure, and being fairly idealistic, but we don't want to forget that it's easier to be that way when you eliminate one of the things that would have made us much different.
Wait a minute. So as we are becoming more diverse and accepting that we are more diverse, that's the very moment at which we're more polarized.
Well, I think that's right. And part of the polarization, as we know, is about people who are more afraid of diversity. But I think this will take us down a different road. You have to look at the history of racism with African Americans a little bit different than you look at how people react to their communities getting more diverse. This is deeper than that. This involves highly educated people, very active in the political process, and of both political parties. So who knows? You can't. I'm not certainly not predicting violence, because that requires all kinds of, mm-hmm. of situations and so on. But you certainly have things that move us in the direction of justifying it that we didn't really have much of before.
Thank you so much. Fascinating. And the NPR report on the polarities in Portland yesterday just set us up for this. Thank you so much, Neil.
Look at it. You're welcome. Take care.
Retired professor of political science and contributing editor of our segment, The Long View. Thank you, Neil Milner.